Good day and welcome to the Eutelsat Communications first quarter 2016-2017 revenues presentation. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolphe Belmer, the CEO of Eutelsat. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for this presentation of our first quarter revenues. I'm Rodolphe Belmer, I'm the CEO of the company. I'm with Michel Azibert, the Deputy CEO, and Antoine Castarrede, who is CFO of the company. Before looking at the numbers in detail, let's take a look at the highlights of the quarter. First, the Eutelsat 5B satellite was procured with significant CapEx savings thanks to the application of the new design-to-cost policy. I would add that the C-band mission, serving mainly data customers in sub-Saharan Africa, will be discontinued in line with the strategy of limiting investments in the data vertical. In government services, the renewal rate with the U.S. Department of Defense during the fall renewal campaign exceeded expectations at above 90% renewal, 90, confirming the stabilization of this vertical. Several contracts were signed for in-flight connectivity, highlighting the high quality of KA-SAT as well as the strong potential of this market. The Russian broadband service on Eutelsat 36C has been launched. Elsewhere, we secured KA capacity via a deal with Yahsat, which was inked yesterday, which will enable us to launch our African broadband initiative in the first months of 2017 and revert to our initial business plan for fiscal year 2018 and fiscal year 2019. Furthermore, we pursued our program of non-core asset disposals with the sale of the 70% stake in WindsDHI, a non-core business in maritime mobility, and the exercise of the put option on the 34% stake in Hispasat as a precursor to the divestment of this stake. I'm pleased to report that the International Chamber of Commerce has appointed an independent expert to proceed to the valuation of the stake as per the put agreement. We expect the expert valuation to be available in the next few weeks. Finally, Q1 revenues were in line with our expectations, enabling us to confirm all our financial targets. Now, over to Mr. Azibert for a more detailed look at this performance.
Thank you, Rodolphe. Total revenues for the first quarter ending September 30, 2016, stood at 384.8 million euros, up 0.7% like-for-like. On a reported basis, revenues were down 0.7%, reflecting a negative 0.3-point currency effect due to the depreciation of the dollar relative to the euro and a negative 1.2-point perimeter effect relative to the disposal of Altern TV and of WindsDHI. Altern in video was deconsolidated from April 2016, and Wind's in value-added services was deconsolidated from September 2016. Quarterly pro forma figures for fiscal year 2015-16 are provided in the appendix of the press release. I will comment in detail on each business vertical in the following slides, but before that, a quick word on other revenues. They amounted to 27.1 million euros in the first quarter, compared with 16.7 million euros last year. In addition to the revenues related to the agreements with SES at 28.5 East, they included fees in respect of technical and engineering services provided to a third-party operator, as well as termination fees related to the rationalization of the distribution at Fortberg. Starting with video applications, first quarter revenues amounted to 224.3 million euros, down 1.3% like-for-like. This reflected, on one end, additional revenues generated by incremental capacity launched last year, at Eutelsat 8WSB in MENA and Eutelsat 36C in Sub-Saharan Africa, and on the other end, lower revenues at the Oddbird position, mainly related to the rationalization of empty capacity in the hands of resellers, as well as lower revenues in professional video. At September 30, 2016, the total number of channels broadcast on Eutelsat fleet stood at 6,336, up 8% year-on-year. HD penetration continued to grow at 940 channels, up from 721 a year earlier, and representing 14.8% of total channel count, compared to 12.3% at the same time last year. On Hotbird, HD penetration increased year-on-year from 19% to 22%. The first quarter revenues for data services stood at 56.8 million euros, down by 2.8% like-for-like. This reflected on one end the full quarter contribution of the Ka-band payload on Eutelsat 65WSA, which entered into service in May, and on the other end, the early termination of the contract for Ka-band capacity on Eutelsat 3B in December 2015, as well as the ongoing tough environment for this data application in all geographies, and particularly in Latin America. First quarter revenues for value-added services amounted to 29.4 million euros, up 8.3% like-for-like, reflecting mainly positive one-offs related notably to the phasing of payments by a specific broadband customer. The number of subscribers on KSAT stood at 179,000, compared to 182,000 at end June and 190,000 a year earlier. ARPU and revenue trends remain well-oriented. The Russian broadband service was launched on Eutelsat 36C satellite in July, and a distribution agreement has been secured with Tricolor TV. A word on African broadband. As a reminder, on 1 September, Spacecom's EMOS 6 satellite was lost following the launchpad explosion of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket in Cape Canaveral. In collaboration with Facebook, Eutelsat had contracted a multi-year agreement to lease the satellite's Ka-band payload covering sub-Saharan Africa with a view to launching broadband services from early 2017. The unmitigated impact on revenues was estimated at around 5 million euros in fiscal year 16-17, 15 million euros in fiscal year 17-18, and 25 to 30 million euros in fiscal year 18-19, with attendant savings in operating costs partially mitigating the impact on the EBITDA margin. As Rodolphe mentioned earlier, we have secured alternative Ka-band capacity with Yahsat. In consequence, the African Broadband Initiative will be launched during the first months of calendar 2017, only a slight delay relative to the original timetable. This will enable Eutelsat to revert fully to the initial business plan for fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19. First quarter revenues for government services stood at 47.1 million euros, a decline of 10.7% year-on-year, reflecting the effect of lower renewals in the previous financial year. The renewal rate for the fall 2016 campaign with the U.S. Department of Defense stood at over 90%, considerably better than the 65% renewal rate of the spring, and reflecting volume renewal rate of almost 100% with a modest price softening. Moreover, new contracts representing four 36 MHz equivalent transponders were also signed with DoD service providers, confirming prospects of a stabilization in this vertical. Turning now to the backlog and fill rates. Backlog stood at 5.4 billion euros at September 30, 2016 versus 6 billion euros a year earlier and 5.6 billion euros at the end of June 16. The sequential decline in backlog reflects its natural consumption. The backlog was equivalent to 3.6 times 2015-16 revenues, and video applications represented 85% of the backlog. With regard to the fill rate, the number of operational 36 MHz equivalent transponders stood at 1,327 at the end of September 2016, almost unchanged compared to the end of June 2016. Year on year, they rose by 152 units, reflecting mainly the entry into service of Eutelsat 8 USB, Eutelsat 115 USB, Eutelsat 36C, Eutelsat 9B, and Eutelsat 65 USA. The fill rate stood at 71.5% at September 30, 2016, compared to 70.9% at end June. The increase in the number of leased transponders in the first quarter reflected notably new contracts in government services. Now, back to Rodolphe for a word on the outlook.
Thank you, Michel. A quick reminder of our new strategic roadmap. Step one, our immediate term focus is on growing our discretionary free cash flow via financial and operational excellence and the optimization of the revenue generation capability of our core business. And step two, return to top-line growth from 2019 onwards by building on our core video vertical and capturing the long-term potential in connectivity. Let's now have a quick look at the main achievements in this first quarter within the framework of this strategic roadmap. First, our commitment to CapEx optimization, evidenced by procurement of Eutelsat 5 USB, with significant savings. I will come back to this in a moment. Second, we have pursued our program of non-core asset disposals, exercising the put option we have on Hispasat to pave the way for a sale and the divestment of Wind's DHI. We are also moving ahead on our commitment to optimize the revenue-generating potential of our legacy verticals. On video, the hotbird rationalization has been completed, and we are moving ahead with the implementation of HD and Ultra HD incentives. On government services, the improvement in the outcome of the full round of U.S. Defense Department renewals supports our view that we have reached the bottom in this vertical. Looking ahead, the leading Russian pay TV operator, Tricolor TV, with 30 million subs, is deploying SmartBeam, Eutelsat's new multi-screen video delivery solution. And on connectivity, several important steps. Broadband, we launched the Russian broadband service and we signed an agreement with Tricolor TV again. Capacity secured also, we have just secured the capacity to launch our African broadband initiative and we replaced the capacity we lost on the MO6 failure. Mobile connectivity, several contracts wins in aeromobility, SAS, Finnair, reflecting both the potential of this vertical and the quality of our in-orbit resources and more specifically of KASAT. As promised, a word on Eutelsat 5 USB procurement, which is a highly relevant case study illustrating the impact of the design-to-cost approach. When procuring the satellites, we opted to optimize the coverage of the satellites and to more closely match coverage with customer requirements at 5 West position, rather than sticking to the existing Eutelsat 5 West A coverage, while maintaining the highest performance standards. This allowed to significantly reduce power requirements and the amount of hardware necessary, making the payload on a small platform. The attendant reduction in size of the satellite enabled a shell launch in a stacked configuration on a Proton rocket. The combination of these factors enabled CapEx savings of over 30% relative to the theoretical cost of replicating Eutelsat 5 WestA Ku-band missions. On aeromobility, two contracts were signed in the framework of our commercial agreement with Viasat, using capacity on KASAT. Finnair will connect entire Airbus A320 series short-haul fleet. It's around 40 aircraft. And SAS will connect its short and medium-haul fleet. It's around 80 aircraft. For both, Eutelsat provides satellite capacity. Viasat is the prime contractor. Elsewhere, El Al, IFEX service, is expected to enter into full retail service before the end of civil year 2016. This shows the unique positioning of KASAT for medium-haul in-flight connectivity in Europe. Turning now, finally, to the outlook for the remainder of the year. First quarter revenues were in line with our expectations. The plus 0.7% organic growth reported cannot be extrapolated to the full year, as it is significantly driven by other revenues. The underlying revenue trend of our four verticals, excluding these revenues, is of around minus 2% in the first quarter. Now, if we look at the remaining 9 months of the year, the evolution of other revenues will turn negative for two reasons. First, non-recurrence of two exceptional elements contributed almost 20 million in Q1. That's hotbird termination fees, and that's a specific technical engineering fee we got. And second, revenues related to the agreements with SES at 28.5 degrees, which is around 5 million euro per quarter, will cease at the end of December. On the other hand, the basis of comparison for our four verticals becomes easier in the second half of the year. On this basis, we confirm our objectives for the full year of a like-for-like revenues in the range of minus 3% to minus 1%. All other financial objectives published on the 29th of July are also confirmed. In fiscal year 17-18, revenues are expected broadly flat, with a return to modest growth in fiscal year 18-19. For each of fiscal year 16-17, 17-18, and 18-19, the EBITDA margin will remain above 75%. On this element, we are in the process of implementing a company-wide cost-saving program. We will be in a position to talk further on this in February. Capital expenditure will stand at an average of no more than 420 million euros per annum for the period July 2016 to June 2019. Discretionary free cash flow will see 3-year CAGR in excess of 10%. We are committed to maintaining a sound financial structure to support our investment grade rating, with a net debt to EBITDA ratio below 3.3 times. And finally, we commit to serving a stable to progressive dividend to shareholders. Thank you for your attention, ladies and gentlemen, and we are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And we'll take our first question from Mr. Paul Sidney from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you very much. Good evening. I just had two questions, please. And firstly, on the US DoD renewal, the 90% with stable volume and price softening. I was just wondering, with stable volume and presumably growing volume going forward, given your comments, why are you still offering price discounts? Surely the negotiating position you have is strengthening, and therefore, given the many years of pain you've had there, is there not a potential for you to negotiate harder on price? And just secondly, on the SAS Finnair deals, are there any potential problems with coverage and capacity in offering this service on KASAT, given you've got 180,000 broadband customers on that satellite, given the configuration of KASAT? And if not, could you just explain why? Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for those two questions. On the US DoD, actually, as we said, it's a very positive news we are posting today, and the renewal rate we got is much better than the one we obtained in the last rounds of renewals. It's true that well, we have renewed around 90% of the capacity in value, 100% in volume, meaning that it comes with a slight price decrease, but which is far smaller than what we had to concede at the previous rounds of negotiations. And it means that the situation is improving a lot in this vertical, and that's why we now say that we are seeing a stabilization coming in this vertical. On your second question on SAS and on the mobility, the aero mobility deals we have signed on KASAT. First, these two deals are actually a sign that this aero mobility segment is gaining traction in Europe, and given the strength and the uniqueness of our KASAT position in Europe, we are very well positioned in this new segment. And second, do we have capacity available to serve this aero mobility service in Europe? The answer is yes. Well, as you know, our KASAT capacity is not full. And second, usually the time of usage of bandwidth is not the same for the airplanes, for the aircraft, and for residential customers. The peak time of usage for residential customers is at night, is the same peak time as for television, whereas the usual consumption in aircrafts on airplanes is during the day, meaning that it's also complementary usage.
And just a follow-up, the configuration of KASAT, you don't see any coverage problems of the aircraft slipping out of coverage at certain times?
Well, actually, it's true that KASAT provides a coverage mostly on Europe and part of the closer regions of the Middle East. But it's true that it's limited, but we also have a sort of roaming agreement with Viasat to provide coverage on other regions.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Michael Bishop from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just two questions. Firstly, a follow-up on Aero. I was just wondering if there's any more potential deals in the pipeline. And following on from that and the capacity question from Paul, you know, how much more incremental capacity do you have to facilitate further deals? And then just secondly, in the press release, you mentioned a lower revenues in professional video as a clear headwind. And could you just expand on that a little bit? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. On aero mobility, well, I cannot disclose more on the pipeline of the company. The only thing I can say is that there are actually other deals in the pipelines, but nothing signed yet and nothing I can announce at the moment. Do we have capacity available in KSA to serve new deals, incremental additional deals we would be in position to sign? The answer is yes. We have still a very significant capacity available to serve a very significant portion of the aero mobility segment in Europe. Second question, professional video. It's true that our video revenues this quarter are slightly declining, and it's entirely due to decline in professional video. If we exclude professional video, our broadcast revenues are up this quarter. Professional video is down for two reasons. First reason, which is structural, there is a slight decline in this vertical due to the fact to the fact that some sport venues get fibered. But more importantly, there are some conjunctural elements in professional video that have weighed on this segment this quarter, which is two elements. First, last year, at the first quarter, we had an event which was called Expo Milano, which brought significant revenues in professional video. And there is we lost a very significant contract with Thomson Reuters that we classified as professional video. It's not really professional video, by the way, but we classified it as professional video, and it's a very specific element which will not repeat by definition. And that's the two very significant elements which triggered a decline in professional video that couldn't be compensated by broadcast during the first quarter.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Nick Dempsey from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. I've got three questions, please. So first of all, just on government again, we've had bad renewal in spring, much better in autumn, some new transponders sold in new contracts. Can we think about a much smaller rate of decline as we get towards the back end of fiscal 17, or even some stabilisation? Or when does the sort of better trend likely to turn up in your like-for-like revenue growth, putting that all together? Then question two, just on your deal with Yahsat, when I'm looking at the Ka band spot beams that you're procuring, it looks like quite a lot more than what you were procuring on Amos 6 or proposing to. So you talk about up to 16 spot beams initially, then capacity on 18 more on a second satellite versus you're going to share 18 with Facebook on Amos 6. So is this a problem that spot beam is not a useful measure on different satellites, so that's not an apples for apples comparison? Or are you taking more capacity and it's going to cost you more? And then just my third question, when you talk about the phasing of payments from a specific customer in value-add services, just to understand that a bit more, is that a genuine one-off, or it's a pull forward of revenues, which means that the boost in growth in this quarter will be offset by weaker year-on-year growth at some other point in the year?
Thank you, Nick. On government services vertical, when will we stabilize? What we think is that even though our renewal rates were better than expected, better than anticipated in our business plan in this autumn renewal campaign, we still believe that we will be in decline this fiscal year 17, because our renewal rate was quite disappointing during the spring renewal campaign, but we believe that after that we could stabilize. Meaning that fiscal year 18 would probably show stabilization. On Yahsat, your remark is true that we are not comparing Apple to Apple when we give the comparison on the number of spot beams. Actually, what would be the most relevant KPI or the most relevant metrics is the number of gigabits per second we will acquire. And actually, what we got on Yahsat is just slightly more than what we got on Amos 6, which is in the order of magnitude of 10 gigabits per second. It's slightly more than what we had on Amos 6, and that's why we believe that we can generate the same order of revenues with this deal with Yahsat that what we had expected through the deal with Spacecom on Amos 6. Last point on the one-off on the VSAT segment. This one-off actually is the payment of a customer of ours, which is treated accounting-wise under a norm which is called EAS 18, means that's a customer that we evaluate as a risky customer, and that we and we recognize the revenues only when they pay to us, actually only when we get the money. Do we hope that this customer will continue to pay us in the future? Yes. Can I promise?
Sorry, just a quick follow-up. Can you quantify that, or how much of a benefit there was in value added in Q1 from that?
I could, but I'm not sure I would be allowed to. I'm looking at Joanna. The answer is yes or no?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a small number.
It's a small number.
Okay.
It's a one-digit figure.
Yes.
But I'm not giving the units. No, I'm joking. It's a one-digit figure in million of euros. A very, very low number.
Okay, thank you. That's
very
great.
One-ish.
From Andrew De Gasperi from Macquarie. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Great. Thanks for taking my question. First, can you maybe give us timing as far as when you will likely see revenue from the in-flight connectivity contracts? I know there's a lag time between when the antennas are installed and when they would generate, but are they potentially paying you up front for that? And then secondly, as far as the ramp up on the Africa Broadband Initiative and satellite, should that be similar to what we would have expected on Amos 6? Thanks.
On the airline connectivity, you are perfectly right that it takes time to deploy the service on the entire fleet, and normally the equipment. We would install two aircraft per week, but we can give you the detail and give you more color. But for that, I will let Michel Azibert answer to your question.
I think we will start seeing the ramp up of revenues starting next fiscal year, in fiscal year 18. So no impact on this year, and then for the two customers mentioned, one of course has a fleet of which is significantly bigger than the other one, and that would generate revenue on the years fiscal year 18, 19, and 20, with a revenue per plane which is consistent, let's say, with what you see in the industry. So a few million euros going up starting next fiscal year.
Andrew, can you just repeat your second question? Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. The Africa Broadband Satellite with Yahsat, I know you've listed the impact on Amos 6 in September, but I was just wondering if when we think about ramp-up starting, I know it's very long-term, but what would the revenue ramp-up be similar to Amos 6?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Andrew. Sorry, we didn't get your question initially, but the answer is yes. Well, we have kept our broadband for Africa operations up and running, even though we had this failure of Amos 6, meaning that we have employees, we have people which are now building up the commercial network to distribute the service in Africa. It means that in terms of ramp up, we estimate that we can keep a similar ramp up as initially planned, meaning that, well, this year we will not be able to recover 100% of the 5 million euros we counted on, only a small part of that, but next fiscal year we will recover 100% of the 15 million euros we had in our business plan, and the year after we will recover 100% of what we had in our business plan, and we disclose a figure which is in the bracket in between of 25 and 30 million euros in fiscal year 19, and we'll be able to completely recover that.
One last question for me. You listed recently a press release about satellite TV in Italy and the subscriber growth happening there. What are you seeing in other regions?
Well, satellite penetration is growing globally, and it's growing in each and every region we serve. It's true in Italy, it's true also in Poland, it's true in the Middle East, it's true in Africa, and it's also true in Russia. For our main hotspots that I've just listed, the penetration of satellite distribution, of the distribution of video by satellite, and the penetration of DTH is progressing.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Zori Davison from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. It's Laurie here from Deutsche Bank. The first question is just on video. You're saying that broadcast would be flat, excluding the professional feeds impact. How much here was the return of capacity? And you've had incremental capacity sales. So how much was that as well? Just to understand, sort of, if you like, the underlying on that broadcast business, given that you're selling new capacity. Secondly, why are you including the termination fee on Hotbird in your recurring revenues? And are you now including this within the -1% to -3% guidance for the full year? Lastly, on data, have you seen any change in the pricing or competition environment since you updated the strategy day? Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. As far as video is concerned, and that's very important, I didn't say that broadcast is flat. I said that broadcast is slightly growing, which is very important. What I said is that we had a drop in professional videos that for conjunctural reasons were not completely compensated by the growth in broadcast. It's true that growth in broadcast was low because it was affected by the termination, by the purge of Hotbird, but still, even though we had this purge on Hotbird, broadcast grew slightly. Second question, are the termination fees we got on the purge of Hotbird included within the guidance? The answer is yes. It's included in the guidance, and it's included in the line called other revenues. It's not included in the video revenues. It's included in other revenues, meaning that broadcast is growing slightly without any termination fee coming from Hotbird purge. To be very specific.
Sorry, just to be clear here. My question was more, how much was the negative in video from those termination fees?
Well, we said, Laurie, remember, we said that the impact on video revenues from the Hotbird purge was around 25
million.
Yeah.
25 million.
Per annum. Yep. So, you know, there's no reason why that wouldn't be reasonably linear per quarter.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is actually linear. But we have the negative impact of the termination, but it's slightly compensated by some termination fees that we have included in the other revenues line. And that's one explanation why this other revenue line is growing significantly this quarter, which will not be repeated the rest of the year.
Sure, but sorry, why are you including that within recurring revenues, though?
But we always, I mean, it's part of the definition of other revenues. We always put termination fees in other revenues. And, you know, and we flagged very clearly that other revenues would be inflated by the termination fees relating to Hotbird. And you know, Rodolf also explained why the line other revenues would fall off as the year progresses. But it's not new. I mean, you know, it's just that it happens to be a big termination fee, but it's within our usual definition of other revenues.
Okay, thanks. And just on the question about data?
Yeah, on your last question on data, this segment, this vertical is declining this quarter with two effects, a positive effect on volume, which is growing, and a negative effect on price, which is in decline. The most declining regions, I would say, in terms of price are Latin America, the Middle East, and Sub-Saharan Africa. It's very consistent to with our forecast and with our business plan, meaning that there is nothing new, nothing worse than what we had anticipated in this segment. That's what I can tell at the moment. Nothing new in terms of competitive intensity. Nothing new in terms of pricing. Nothing worse than anticipated. And we're expecting the same scheme to be repeated in the following quarters, meaning more revenues and decreasing price. The revenues not big enough to compensate the decline in price, and net a negative trend in data quarter on quarter.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Is there somebody online?
Hello?
Yes? Good evening.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Two questions, if I may. It's Eric Baudet from Natixis.
Thank you. You have not been introduced by the speaker, unfortunately.
No problem. Two questions. One quick one. You spoke about your Eutelsat 5 West B satellite, where you're not going to replace your C-band capacity. So I suppose your C-band customers currently on 5 West A will be migrated to new satellites. My question is, will you carry the cost of that migration, and is it a big amount? So if you could give us a bit of a guidance on that, it would be helpful. And my second question is, I'm rebounding on the guidance question. You're guiding for revenues this year of -1% to -3% at constant currency and perimeter. And on the first page of your press release, you're mentioning that at constant currency and perimeter, your revenues are up 0.7% in Q1 because of your good other revenue lines. So what would explain a deterioration of your sales growth implicit for you to be and to reach your guidance? Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. 5 West B, actually, we put forward this case study for two reasons, because it's a perfect example of the initial success, I would say, of our new design-to-cost strategy. It's a key underlying element of our new CapEx guidance. We said we would be able to reduce our CapEx envelope without any negative impact on the deployment plan of our fleet, meaning on our top-line profile. And we think we are proving that with this first case, which is the 5 West B procurement. Another element is that we say that we would not invest anymore in the data segment, because we believe that it's going to be very gloomy in the next 3 to 5 years, and that's why we have decided not to replace the mission in C-band of this satellite. And actually, we are trying to transfer the client on other positions.
Yeah, in particular, as you know, this 5 West B C-band covers Africa for VSAT customers mainly, and backhauling. And we have other satellites like 8 West B, which was launched 2 years ago, and 10A, where we have also C-band capacity. So we'll migrate, and if there is a cost, it will be limited, and generally we might help a little bit, but that's not significant numbers.
On your second question, Eric, which is that we have posted objectives for the full fiscal year 17 of in between of -1% and -3%, whereas our first quarter are better since we have posted a +0.7% growth like for like. What we said initially is that if you exclude one-off element that occurred in the first quarter, our regular business trend comes at -2% in the first quarter compared to the first quarter of last year, meaning that if we exclude the one-off element that will not be recurrent over this fiscal year, it shows that the trend of our revenues should be in the middle of the guidance bracket.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. This is the operator speaking again. I apologize, my microphone was on mute before. We'll now take our next question from Patrick Wellington from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm just going to go back to that last point, actually, which is that if one strips out the benefit from other revenues, but one also strips out the benefit in value-added services, because you say that most of the growth is derived in the first quarter from the one-off there, then actually your organic growth is -2.7% in the first quarter. So in a sense, I could ask that last question the other way around. What's going to make it improve within the range during the balance of the year? Second question, helping you out on that, you've taken back in some of the capacity on Hotbird, about 5 or 8 transponders, from the third-party distributors. You kind of touched on what you were doing with that and the promotion of HD and UHD. So what are your chances and progress of in reselling some of that capacity? At what sort of rates? And then thirdly, just looking at your operating cost savings, you've got a bit of a plan there. Your OPEX is about $110 million per annum. Sly Bailey at Trinity Mirror always used to say that you can always save 5% of your cost base. So is it 5% of the cost base that we should be looking for you to inject? Can you give us some sort of feel?
Thank you, Patrick. On the guidance, could we be lower? Our view at the moment is that there are also some positive elements that should be taken into consideration if you want to have a view on our full year revenue trend. First, we will have the full year effect of the 8 West B satellite and the 36C satellite. Second, there will be some positive effect also of the government service of the renewal campaign of this autumn, meaning that there are some positive factors also, which are and also there is the effect that I'm forgetting of the positive effect, the positive impact of the 65 West A satellite. All that will also will bring positive elements to our to our revenue trend in the next few months.
We'll also have 117 West B coming into service in the next few months.
Hotbird capacity? What's happened with that?
On Hotbird, what are we doing with the capacity we have taken back from distributors? We are mostly using this capacity to trigger, to develop promotional plans to accelerate the penetration of HD and Ultra HD on Hotbird. And that's a key element for the growth of penetration of HD and Ultra HD. And as you know, it's very important for us in the long run to grow the capacity used on Hotbird. And that's what we do at the moment. We have not resold capacity for the moment. We have used it as a promotional vehicle to drive the penetration of HD and Ultra HD. And as you can see, we are seeing some results given the acceleration in the penetration of HD on Hotbird. On the cost-saving program that I've just mentioned, I said that I would give more color and I would give quantification in the next, at our next communication of the half-year results in sometime in February. I cannot give you more indication at that moment, at this specific moment, but what I can say is that it will be significant.
Well, I would say significant mean 10% rather than 5, but you know, I may be misleading people if I leave it at that.
Yeah, but well, I don't know what I can say more than that at the moment.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sami Kassab from Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Three questions, perhaps, to start with. First, can you update us on the progress you're making on reselling the HTS capacity on Eutelsat 3B? And do you assume any resale of that capacity into your current year guidance, please? Secondly, any update on the Viasat JV talks and your thoughts on the financing of Viasat 3? And lastly, can you compare the economics of the Yahsat deal with the Amos 6 deal? Are you paying more per megabits per second per month, or should we expect a better or worse margin impact of that deal compared to the Spacecom one? Thank you.
Thank you, Sami. On the E3B capacity, we have negotiations on the way. I cannot comment more on that at the moment. Well, we hope we are going to resell it shortly, and it's not in the guidance.
Have the beams still under litigations, and are there some legal issues that prevent you from selling, or is that behind you?
No, it's behind us. We had a positive outcome of a litigation we had in Brazil with this capacity. Now it's behind us. We are really, what I'm saying, we are currently negotiating, and hopefully we are in the final phase, but well, it's very difficult to say more at that moment in time, but we are in the final phase of negotiating the resale of this capacity. But it's not signed, and I cannot commit on that at the moment.
Very clear. And with the JV?
JV with Viasat is still also under discussion. It's a complicated negotiation that we're conducting. We are making progress, and we hope we'll have news to communicate in the next few weeks. On Yahsat versus Amos capacity, what's the price and what are the economics? Roughly speaking, the deal with Yahsat is pretty similar to the one we had with Spacecom. We have the same capacity, a bit more on Yahsat at a similar price, slightly improved conditions for us, but it's a very, very minor difference.
Many thanks for that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vincent Molli from ODDO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hello. Two questions. The first one on U16 new lead transponder quarter on quarter, of which four coming from the government segment. What about the other two? Where do they come from? The second question on the deal with Yahsat. Facebook is not named anymore, so any change to work with such partners in the future, or Facebook prefer to work on alternative technologies, and what does it change in the commercial momentum not to have such a partner?
On the deal with Yahsat and with Facebook, well, in the initial phase, we concentrated to negotiate a new deal to replace the capacity we had lost on MS6, and as you can realize, we were quite effective and quite fast to find a solution, and we concentrated on that. Now, does it mean that we have given up on the idea of partnering with Facebook? The answer is no, but we are going to conduct discussion now on with this partner. I want to make something clear. We like the idea of being partnering with Facebook, but actually this partnership was had no, I would say, significant financial impact or commercial impact on us. We shared a capacity on the MO6 satellite, and we had planned to sell our own capacity to our own customers and with our own commercial and business model, and Facebook had other plans for themselves. What we've been able to do with Yesat, we've been able to replace exactly the capacity we, Eutelsat, had leased on MO6. And meaning that even though Facebook wouldn't come with us, it wouldn't have any negative impact on us, nor commercially, neither commercially, nor financially. That being said, we would like to continue to partner with Facebook, because that's a partner we like, and it's a big name, and we like to associate satellite internet by satellite with big names. But that's the most advantage of that. On the transponders we have leased over the quarter, I will turn to Michel Azibert.
Yeah, so net we have leased 6 more transponders. In fact, this is a net effect. So we have leased more than 6, but we have lost a few in the declining in the sectors where we have highlighted volume declines. So if I concentrate on the positive news, it's true that a chunk of that comes from government. We have said that 2 times 72 megahertz have been added by a renewal coupled with extensions. But we have also, let's say, increase of capacity or increase of fill rate in completely other segments or geographies. For instance, just to mention two, on 28 degrees, which is a video in Europe, especially in the UK, our fill rate has been increasing during the period. And to mention another geography and segment in data, in MENA, at 21 degrees, we have increased our capacity during this this quarter as well.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Andrew Spinola from Wells Fargo. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just two questions for me. First question, given that you're focused on retrenching your business to a certain extent, I thought there was a chance you would not lease new capacity for Africa and wait for your own capacity later in the decade. Obviously, you chose to move forward with the deal with Yahsat. And that the question related to that is, do you have an appetite, or does Eutelsat have an appetite for more internet broadband opportunities outside of the markets you're currently in? And I asked specifically about Brazil, given you have a payload, a Ka-band payload available of your own down there. Obviously, Yahsat's got more capacity coming. Would you be interested in Brazil or other markets the way you are in Africa and Europe for consumer broadband? And the second question I have is related to your comment earlier about stabilization in the government vertical. Can you comment, is that related to DoD demand, market share with the DoD, or non-DoD demand? Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. On your first question on broadband and more broadly on the fact that we would be retrenching, well, that's not really the case. What we said is that we are going to try to maximize the cash flow we generate of our legacy business in order to be able, and we'll grow our cash flow by more than 10%, and we are giving, I think, more and more facts and elements to prove that. Why do we do that? Because we want to grow our dividends and we want to deleverage the company, but we also said we want to be able to invest in our organic growth. Where will be our organic growth in the next few years? It will be in broadband. We are seeing very positive signs of market growth, of the demand getting traction in the connectivity segments, aero mobility, for instance. And second, we think that the market demand will accelerate in the residential segment. Not today, But tomorrow, when the new class of satellite, which is called VHTS, will be available, and it's the satellite of the class of Viasat 3, for instance. What do we do before that? Because those satellites are going to be available around 2020. To be able to commercialize efficiently this capacity when it's available, we need to get prepared. We need to have in place a commercial network which is trained and experienced to distribute these new services to customers, to homes, or to small companies. And that's what we do at the moment. We use our capacity, the capacity that we have, or the capacity we can get at a reasonable cost and at reasonable capex, which are in the magnitude of order of what we can finance. We use that to prepare for the acceleration in broadband as of 2020. That's what we do in Russia. We launched in July our Broadband for Russia initiative, and we are now working with Tricolor TV, the biggest pay TV operator in Russia that is going to sell triple play to the pay TV subscriber in Russia. That's a very promising business model that we are experimenting with Tricolor TV. In Africa, we have leased a small capacity, that's a small investment for us in Africa, to prepare our commercial network and to prove in market, in real life, the business models that we could scale and deploy efficiently when we have a bigger capacity available to serve the needs of the African populations. And that's what we do at the moment. At a minimum capex cost, with minimum opex, we get prepared to accelerate in broadband. Meaning that we don't give up on growth. We will grow again at a significant pace, but it will be in some years, and we are using this time to get fully prepared. Stabilization in the government services vertical, it's coming on the backdrop of a good demand coming from the US DOD. It's true that what you are referring to in your question, that we see a growth in the demand of non-US DODs elsewhere in the world, but the very significant, the vast majority of our revenues in the government services vertical comes from the US DOD. DOD is 70% of our revenues in this vertical, and what we see now, it's a stabilization, or even for us, a slight growth in the demand in value of the US DOD, and that's the main driver for what we believe is going to be the stabilization of this vertical next fiscal year.
Thank you. And just to follow up, on in terms of seeding new markets, would you consider Brazil or any markets beyond the three markets you mentioned, Russia, Europe, and Africa? Thank you.
I forgot this part of your question. In Brazil, unfortunately, or fortunately enough, we have sold out all of our KA capacity on the 65 West A satellite, meaning that for the moment, we don't have plans to exploit directly our capacity in Brazil, which was sold under a wholesale model to distributors. Those two distributors are Hughes and Televera in Mexico.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll now take our final question from Giles Thorne from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. I think everyone will be happy to know I've only got five questions. I've only got one question. All my others are gone. I wanted to ask about Telespazio and the recent agreement you made with Telespazio to drive more HD and Ultra HD penetration on Hotbird. It feels like this is rather at odds with your moves to cut out the distributors for Hotbird in Europe, which you very famously announced back in May. So it'd be interesting to know what was special about Telespazio or the Italian situation that kept you to the kept you loyal to the old model. Thanks.
We have not decided that we will not work any longer with the distributors
We tend to sell direct to the pay TV platforms in Europe on Hotbird. We also tend to sell direct in Central Europe on the other satellites, and for some big free-to-air customers or some big media group. But still, we have partners who are resellers, and we stay on the Hotbird. We have just limited their number and reorganized the way we work with them. And in fact, yes, we have announced that this is what is taking place with Globcast, with Media Broadcast, and with Telespazio. These are the three for which we have publicly communicated that we're making progress in having them on board with us to push this migration to HD and Ultra HD and bring new channels to the platform.
What was different about these three names, these three distributors, and somebody like Arqiva, where you took the capacity back?
Well, first, you know, guys, it's very difficult to comment on these kind of questions, but to answer more broadly on your questions, it's true that we would, our long-term intention is to go more direct and to have more direct relationships with our clients, be they pay TV operators or free-to-air operators. The fact is that it's a long journey because we have contracts at the moment with distributors in Europe. And what we are trying to do is to organize the situation in the best way for us to maximize our revenues in the short run, given this current context. And we are trying to concentrate our relationship and our distribution with distributors which are with whom we have long-term contracts and which also have proven to be pretty efficient in certain geographies. And we tend to specialize our distributors by geography to make sure they bring an added value to us. And evidently, Telespazio has a very strong knowledge and experience and expertise of the Italian market, which is a very important market for us. And that's why it makes sense to concentrate their efforts on the Italian markets. And the key value driver for us on the Italian market is the acceleration of the deployment of HD and Ultra HD.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue. And at this time, I'd like to turn the program back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
No, thank you. No additional remarks. Thank you for this for attending this this session and this communication. And hopefully, we'll talk later. Have a good one, as you say.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.